The voice that you heard there during the sports bulletin was that of Kenneth Clark, who's sitting opposite me now, a cabinet minister in British governments for over 20 years, three times contender for the leadership of the Conservative Party, but never actually succeeded. Still an MP and still hoping to be an MP after the next general election, which is going to be this year. You're very welcome to Morning Ireland.
No, pleasure to be here. Sorry, I barracked your sports bulletin.
Not at all. We always welcome interruptions during that particular part of the programme. You're in Dublin today to argue for the merits of Britain staying within the EU should it be put to a referendum by David Cameron, he says, if he wins the next general election. What was your reaction when he first announced he was going to do this?
Yeah, I'm here with European Movement Ireland because I think there's a big Irish interest in what on earth the British are going to do. My reaction when it was first announced a referendum was disappointment. I mean, I was surprised. I'm of a generation that's not in favour of referendums.
I heard you were appalled, no?
Well, I prefer parliamentary democracy. Referendums are a way of trying to get, I know you have them constitutionally in Ireland, but I would rather avoid them in Britain. I'd like to be able to hold people accountable for the continuing effects of their decisions rather than have dramatic yes-no questions being asked from now and again, which pose more questions than they answer normally. But anyway, quite apart from that, it does mean that I hope not too much uncertainty comes into our membership. My opinion, Britain's role in the world, if we're to look after our interests and be a beneficial influence, I hope, in all those parts of the world where we have interest to protect, is as a leading member of the European Union. And our economy is totally dependent on not only on our being in the single market, but able to play a part in the Council and framing the rules and so on, and taking part in trade negotiations with the Americans and all this kind of thing. And I think the days of Lord Palmerston have gone. More relevantly, up to date, Britain on its own would be diminished, lest the Americans would find us a less valuable ally, the Russians would take very little notice of us, and we work better with the other European states when we take a collective view. It stops us fading away compared with all the new powers in the world.
You say that Britain needs to bear in mind Ireland in a vote over EU membership. Do you think it is bearing us in mind? Do you think it cares?
Well, I regret no, but to be fair, I think the public as a whole, as compared with the political and journalist class, you know, the bubble, are not really engaged in this very much at all. And if we do have a referendum, there's going to have to be a much more intense debate when we get there. In my opinion, obviously...
Do you really think Ireland's going to be part of that debate?
Well, I think that what consequences does this have? Because Ireland's not going to leave the European Union, I would imagine. It's not for me to say, but it strikes me as completely crazy for the Irish Republic to leave the European Union. Half your modernisation, the future of your recovery, rather depends on the role you play, very strong role, inside the European economy. Now, we've got the best relations with the Irish Republic since Irish independence at the moment. We have a peace process in Northern Ireland. We have a border which is not strictly, you know, it doesn't have to be strictly barricaded and manned. We have a free flow of goods and services over it. If Britain were to leave the European Union and the Republic were to stay in the European Union, presumably that means the British are going to start doing things which distinguish them and their economy and their politics from the rest of Europe, and then
just drop a bilateral arrangement with Ireland, which is probably what.
Well, now Eurosceptics seem to imagine we could have a bilateral arrangement with 28 member states, and that would be more convenient, apparently, than actually playing a part.
But it'd be fairly straightforward to do it with the one nearest to you, surely.
It ought to be. It would have to be. You'd have to negotiate some understanding. But if we suddenly decided that now we were no longer in the EU, we wish to have some different consumer protection regulations, some food safety regulations, some different environmental standards, and that's what all the European regulations are about, quite how do you enforce that either side of the border? And if you do start putting in difficulties in the border, I think you will have an unsettling effect on the settlement in Ulster, and it won't be in the interests of either the Irish or the British.
What about if Northern Ireland votes yes to stay in the EU? If Scotland votes yes to stay in the EU, but England says no, is that going to lead to a breakup of the UK?
I think having held a referendum on Scotland, it has increased the prospects of the Union breaking up. I mean, the result was in favour of the Union, but it's caused all kinds of constitutional questions to be thrown up. And whenever you lose it, anybody who loses a referendum immediately claims it's all a deceit of the electorate. They've been deceived. So that, I mean, the Scotnats have sort of angling for another referendum within 5 minutes of the last one closing. If Scotland, where there's no great Euroscepticism, if Scotland were to vote for staying in the Union, England were to was to vote for going out and to take the UK
and
out.
And Northern Ireland was to vote to stay in the Union.
Well, Northern Ireland's different. Can you envisage Northern Ireland ever coming to a political conclusion that it was going to be a totally independent, separate Ulster in the world? I think the Northern Ireland will stay with the United Kingdom because the political difficulties of reopening all that would cause real chaos for the particular Northern Irish.
But if they voted to stay,
Scotland,
yes,
Scotland, I think you will really pose a serious risk of finishing the Union off if Scotland found it was being taken out of the European Union, despite its vote in a referendum by the English.
Can you understand why many want to leave the EU? They blame it for all their problems, especially in the UK in the case of immigration. But for many, even in this country too, the EU has made, some people would argue, a mess of things economically, so perhaps it's best to be rid of it.
No, I think it's, you know, that given that the terribly difficult times are in, worst financial crisis of my lifetime and all the rest of it, the people are looking for simple explanations, and blaming foreigners, blaming the EU, blaming Brussels is a lot easier than sorting out the financial and economic mess that our politicians have tended to get us all in the recent past with the help of our bankers and other people. So that is what in Britain what lies behind it. And the hardline Eurosceptics have a simple solution to every problem we have of low pay, housing, health pressures and so on. It's immigrants, it's foreigners, it's Brussels, and it's all the immigrants. And that's you know, not doing justice to the more intelligent Eurosceptic case, but it does, explain a lot of the feeling. Most members of the public have a limited understanding of exactly how the European Union works. But Ireland, for example, and the United Kingdom, most of our problems were caused by a crazy credit bubble and credit crash. Your housing market was an even bigger mania than the British housing market. Your banks collapsed before ours did. You were the first ones to nationalise your debt. Actually, none of that had anything to do with the EU or Brussels. And I don't think most of the present problems of the Eurozone have anything to do with the euro. Those problems are caused by politicians in various countries not following the rules which the finance ministers of my generation, including the Irish and the British, laid down for how the euro was supposed to work.
Let's go to the other extremity of the EU. You warned some time ago that Greece would face disaster if they voted for, and I'm using your own quote here, cranky extremists. Have they, and what now?
I'm not sure I called them that. I mean, I'm very nostalgic when I look at the Greek situation. They remind me of the student Trotskyites of my youth. Greece has voted. I think Greece has voted in despair at its political establishment. In most countries, people are angry with their political establishment. Greece has gone. I think they've just taken the risk, the chance that anything must be better. And we wait to see what Syriza will do. And they've started off in a very worrying way. I think Grexit is, you know, Greeks leaving the Eurozone could be catastrophic for the Greeks, make their terrible experiences of the last few years even worse. I trust that common sense will prevail in negotiating some ordered, reasoned arrangement, but I don't envy the task of those going to have to negotiate it, but we now have this vote down. It's a pure protest vote, and you have left-wing, rather populist politicians with whom you've got to try to negotiate a settlement.
Just before I let you go, because we were talking earlier in the programme about e-cigarettes, I know this is a complete move, but and a bid to regulate their sale here, because you were deputy...
I stick to cigars myself.
You were deputy chairman and director of one of the world's giant tobacco companies, British American Tobacco. Are you still involved with them?
No, I can't be. I had to give it up when I became a shadow minister and a minister. I haven't gone back. I was for a time.
The reason I ask is because they're selling...
They'll make e-cigarettes.
Yes, they're selling e-cigarettes, and they're spending millions of pounds developing e-cigarettes. Why?
Well, because there's a market for them. There's a tremendous campaign to stop people smoking cigarettes for health reasons, and there are some very valid...
Why does a company that makes
arguments.
Cigarettes want to invest money in a product that is helping people, they believe, to come off
cigarettes? Because it's the same market. I mean, their market's under attack from the makers of nicotine patches. It's the same reason people make nicotine patches. And I always tell myself I'm not addicted to nicotine, and if I am enjoying the nicotine, I enjoy my cigars for other reasons. People who find socially that it's attractive, that they can get satisfaction out of e-cigarettes, and there's less health hazards in e-cigarettes, want to give up smoking because of the health hazards. E-cigarettes is obviously regarded by many people as an attractive alternative. It's a market. It's not a decision I was involved in because I left about 6 years ago. But they're going into e-cigarettes. Personally, if I was the kind of smoker who just couldn't imagine life without my cigarette, I'd go to an e-cigarette rather than keep buying ridiculous patches to stick on my arm with the nicotine. But that's probably my entering into what is now a market competition, which is no concern of mine. I'm a customer for cigars nowadays.
Kenneth Clark, thank you very much for coming into our studio this morning.